theme, reflection on Romans, starting again after the summer break, but also very much focusing on the climate emergency. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will open our hearts and minds to the signs of our times, to the groaning of creation, that we may indeed take action, guided by your Spirit, to see the world made new. Amen. We're living in a time of crisis for our planet. Climate change is accelerating, and creatures and plants are dying out at an alarming rate. The increase in carbon emissions is causing temperatures to rise and increasing the number and intensity of extreme weather events. Europe and Canada have seen unprecedented forest fires. Many Asian countries, including India, Bangladesh, China, Thailand, Singapore, and Vietnam, have seen record-breaking heat waves. In England, we've had the hottest June ever, and now record September temperatures. I don't know whether you can see I'm sweating, but I am from the record September temperatures. And globally, despite our cool and damp July, July globally this year was the hottest ever recorded. 2023 could become the hottest year on record. In contrast, many parts of the world, ranging from Southern California to Northern India, have been hit by freak storms and floods. Indeed, some places have been hit by both extreme heat followed by extreme floods. The picture is grim, but we need to hear the facts about the climate emergency. Although there's been some progress, there's much more that we need to do to limit climate change and to protect wildlife. As the Met Office reports, the evidence is clear. The main cause of climate change is burning fossil fuels such as oil, gas, and coal. When burnt, fossil fuels release carbon dioxide into the air, causing the planet to heat up. It's therefore only right that we as a parish take time to think about what's happening to our planet and our environment. But in the midst of all the gloom, it's also vital for us as God's people to declare that we have hope in the dawning victory of God. We are a people of hope, not a people of despair. Today is our Climate Sunday. So what exactly is Climate Sunday? Well, it's not actually a specific Sunday in the church calendar. Churches together in Britain and Ireland, an interdenominational cooperative comprising most of the major churches in the UK and Ireland, encouraged churches to hold Climate Sunday services. 2 years ago, we had a Climate Sunday in the run-up to COP26, the International Conference on Climate Change held in Glasgow. And now we're having another Climate Sunday in the run-up to COP28, being held in Dubai, starting at the end of November. So why do we, as Christians, care for the environment? Well, we follow a God who created this world and cares deeply for it. We're going to be using the passage from Romans to explore the biblical basis for our concern for the environment as part of our reflections on Romans theme. One reason for caring for the environment that we get from our passage is that Paul looks forward to the renewal of creation when Christ returns. As we see in verse 21, Paul declares, "The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." Yes, God will redeem creation and transform it to freedom and glory. But why does creation need redemption? The answer, according to Paul, lies in the fall of Adam and Eve. What the story of the fall, right at the start of Genesis, tells us is that humanity rebelled against God and decided to go its own way apart from God, and the consequences of that decision were disastrous. It damaged the relationship between humans and God. It damaged the relationship between humans. It also damaged humanity's relationship with creation. So why did the fall, humanity's rebellion against God, damage creation so badly? Well, we read in Genesis that the original task God gave the first humans was to care for creation. Genesis 1, verse 28 tells us, God blessed Adam and Eve and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now the words that the NIV translates as subdue and rule can be a bit misleading if we interpret it as meaning domination. Because if we look ahead to Genesis chapter 2, we see that God commanded Adam to work the Garden of Eden and to take care of it. So while we can farm, cultivate, and use the land so we can eat and live, we must do so in a way that doesn't harm nature. And not only that, we should protect and care for the earth. However, we've failed to protect nature. We've abused it, and the consequences are now clear. The climate emergency, the extinction of many species of plants, animals, and insects, and the plastic pollution in our oceans. But there's hope, because God plans to redeem the damaged creation and not simply to dispose of it at the end of the age. Verse 19 of Romans 8 tells us that creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. And as children of God, this does have profound implications for us as Christians. It means that we should act in ways that anticipate the new creation that Paul is looking forward to. Far from avoiding involvement in the environmental movement, Christians should be at the forefront of it. Ruth Valerio, a British environmentalist and theologian, wrote, "There's a need to rebuild our relationship with our planet so that we might rebuild our relationship with its creator." The Archbishop of Cape Town, Thabo Makgoba, told fellow bishops, "The problem is spiritual as well as economic, scientific, and political. We, that is, we in the churches, have been complicit in a theology of domination. While God committed the care of creation to us, we have been careless. If we want to be right with God, we need to be right with our planet." Paul himself gives us more than enough reason to care for creation and the environment, that in doing so, we are pointing towards God's new creation, when God will renew and transform the earth. So, we started with Paul, but what can we learn from Jesus himself? Well, Jesus' nature and character provide a second reason for caring for the environment. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, was deeply attentive to the natural world. His parables reference fig trees, foxes, and flowers. He urged the disciples to consider the birds and flowers. And in the wilderness, Jesus is described as being with the wild animals. Jesus didn't seek to have dominion over the natural world. In fact, he modeled a completely different way of ruling to that which people expected. This isn't just true of his kingship over humanity, but his kingship over all of creation. Are we as connected to nature in our modern 21st century lives as Jesus? As his followers, how are we following his example? How can we help to reconcile and restore our broken climate? A third reason for caring for the environment is creation itself. Paul tells us that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. But although creation is in great distress, we can see God revealed in it in so many ways. We see God revealed in creation in big ways, in small ways, in dramatic and subtle ways, visible and invisible ways. We see evidence of his beauty, creativity and diversity in the way these things are shown through the variety of life in earth and sea and sky. In creation, we see a blueprint of God's harmonious plan for his kingdom, where everything can find its place and is interdependent on those around it. We also see the way that our destructiveness can disrupt this harmony and put it off balance. This is at the root of our climate crisis. However, we see that God's plan is for all of this to be reconciled to him. We have this hope, but we need to be playing our part in bringing about this reconciliation. God's plan to renew and transform creation, the character of Jesus himself, and creation should all inspire us as Christians to care for the environment. So, how can we respond? What practical steps can we take? COP26 2 years ago produced some promising results, but we need to make sure that governments keep to the promises they made. If they don't, the consequences could be disastrous. Before COP26, climate scientists were warning that current trends are leading us towards 3 to 5 degrees Celsius of warming by the end of this century. At COP26, the countries agreed to keep 1.5 alive, meaning that they're aiming to limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. But at last year's COP27, progress on this was disappointing. So it's vital to hold world leaders to their commitments. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, says achieving this requires rapid, far-reaching, and unprecedented changes in all aspects of society. We need to be on track by 2030, or exceeding 1.5 degrees will be all but inevitable. As we get closer to COP28, churches and Christian organizations will step up their actions, so watch this space. But one thing that is currently happening is the Make Polluters Pay Action Day later this month. At COP27 last year, the countries agreed to set up a loss and damage fund to compensate communities already suffering severe effects from climate change, even though they've not contributed to it. The problem is that there's very little money in the fund, so the Make Polluters Pay Action Day aims to stir our government into action. And as you can see from the slide, Christian Aid is one of the leading lights behind this campaign. So why is the campaign important? Well, Gabriel Kapaka from Sierra Leone describes with the aid of some graphic images what's happening in his country. So Ben will hopefully show us the video.
Left in the wake of floods, rise and sea, landslides and more. We have always experienced moderate temperatures, heavy rainfalls and high humidity, and we used to have two equally marked seasons, dry and rain. When I was young, the rainy season kept us cool enough to play football, and the rains nourish agricultural production via indigenous crop strike. But as climate change has intensified, more frequent and prolonged dry spells have threatened our food security. Due to rising sea levels, flooding now occurs yearly and is far more severe. Floods contaminate our drinking waters, spreading sicknesses and diseases. People living in disaster-prone areas constantly worry about their homes being destroyed. Mudslides and damaged buildings and infrastructures are now. In 2017, nearly 1,000 people were killed and over 3,000 were displaced in our overcrowded capital, Freetown. These developed countries face the largest damages from climate change proportionate to the size of our economies and face financial losses hundreds of billions each year.
The impact of climate injustice severely affects people's lives. We urgently need nations across the world, particularly the richest nations whose heavy emissions have caused this damage, to take leadership and provide dedicated financial support to address the far-reaching water damage caused by climate change.
You can find out more about this and other campaigns on the Green and Fair Trade page on the parish website, or you can ask me. In our own parish, we're looking at ways of reducing our carbon footprint, including looking at new ways of heating all our buildings. On a smaller scale, it's also possible to take seemingly little steps, but if worldwide hundreds of millions of people take little steps, the combined effect can be huge. Just one little example, why not take your own metal fork with you so you don't have to reuse disposable ones? And remember the three R's: reduce, reuse, recycle. There are many little things we can do. I've discovered that at large Sainsbury stores, you can recycle soft plastics that normally aren't recyclable. Let's be imaginative. Let's share ideas and support each other. Sometimes we may despair, but God plans to renew the whole creation. So in hope, let's play our part in restoring creation. The time to act is now. Amen. The time to act is now. So if you'd like to, please feel free to take part in the act of commitment.